Hello, friends, and welcome to our second program on the first initiation compilation. It's been a few days since I've been able to get back to this, but okay, hopefully now we can keep going for a little while. The first program is posted now on YouTube, and I'll continue to post on our Moria Federation Esoteric Education on YouTube. Okay, we're in discipleship number 2 at the moment. All these things are at this time characteristic of the hierarchy. I would remind you that when you think of hierarchy, you think in terms of the masters, as most people do, or of the higher initiates, and this is not correct. Okay, let's see what he says here. This is not correct. All right. Here we go. Every accepted disciple is within the periphery of the hierarchy and of its influence. And as I have frequently pointed out, all have, in some past life, taken the first initiation, perhaps not necessarily the Christ as the initiator, but given accepted discipleship and the fact that the Christ has been the initiator for some 2,500 years, it's very probably the Christ. Every disciple has been to Bethlehem and has seen the star in the east. The star of initiation which shines forth in the chamber of initiation, that star which shines forth in fuller splendor each time another initiation is taken. A very beautiful idea, and I just want to, let's see if I can point out something from a map. And it would be this map, which shows disciples. Let's see here. And I'll try to lift this up here. Various grades of disciples and even people on the probationary path are within this blue circle of hierarchy. The Tibetan says that all accepted disciples are within the circle of hierarchy, as we cannot really be an accepted disciple unless we have taken the first initiation. Of course, there are some rare exceptions for certain purposes, as one of the disciples in the Tibetan's group was put in there for his own protection, and because of his loyalty and helpfulness to the cause, he had not yet taken the first degree, and yet he was considered to be an accepted disciple, but that's very rare. You may want to read on LTSK, okay, in the Dyna 2 books, or Dyna 1 and Dyna 2. Okay, freedom from material imprisonment. Preparatory to this first initiation, there has always to be, individually and now collectively, yes, and that's for the first time, the denial of the lower self, the entirety of the lower self, perhaps, but especially the physical instincts, I would say, denial of the lower self and the fervid acceptance by the personality of the loss of all the material factors which have held the soul a prisoner in the womb of time. That word fervid is an intense word. It involves the idea of that which is intensely emotional and a focused emotion, fervent, you might say, almost fevered, maybe, but it is an intense approach to the rejection of the material factors. Now, this is happening for humanity as a whole, as they have been very deprived through the powers of Pluto and Vulcan in the great war of so much of that upon which they depended, and which they felt was absolutely necessary for their sense of well-being and a well-lived life. But these things have been taken out of their hands, and they've learned that a greater simplicity is possible, which leads to a far more fulfilled life, spiritually considered. I mean, there's so much, frankly, that we are hanging on to, and these things do get in the way. And the Tibetan for sure, and the Buddha before him, spoke of the need not to desire that which is found within the phenomenal world. So we are ready then to relinquish so much of what we thought was necessary, only to find that which is simpler, truer, and spiritually is necessary. Okay, so there's a lot of loss that goes on here with this before the first initiation, those two planets particularly, and a great revolution that is found with Uranus as one of the major rulers of this initiation and the ruler of the sacral center, with its acquisitive third ray sort of grasp on material form. Instead, there is a transference, beginning of a transference, to the throat center, where a higher relationship to form is experienced, one that is far more intelligent, more detached, more knowing, and less obsessive. Okay, let's go on. Unconscious occultist, this is about that. Still from Dyna 2, the number of those who can work with the energy of thought is now very great. So here we are, you know, the throat center is really becoming stimulated, let's just say. The throat center. Okay, let's see here. That should be throat center. I don't know why this is not working. Aha, it's just not working. All right, let's see what we can do here. Yeah. Set as default, and hopefully this will work. The throat center, well, maybe it's not going to work. I'll just close this for a little while. Okay, I'm back. I managed to fix it. It was not working with Australian English, and I don't know how that happened, but okay. We now have the idea that the number who can work with the energy we thought is very great, because there's at this time a tremendous stimulation of the throat center in humanity, especially during these latter days of the Aryan root race, which involves intelligence and the throat center. So it's more active now, and there's another reason as well. Because so many hundreds of thousands have taken the first initiation. So many hundreds of thousands have taken the first initiation. And now I think that number is probably up in the millions. This becomes clear when you realize the untold numbers of those who are definitely oriented towards the light. And here are some of the requirements of the first initiation, definitely oriented towards the light, who are spiritually motivated and are consciously trying to tread the path or express the idea in Christian phraseology to follow in the footsteps of the Christ. This is a little more inclusive look than he gave earlier. He talked about people being interested in the esoteric teaching, but they may have taken the first initiation in some other religion which doesn't have the terminology of occultism at all. And here he elaborates on this. These are the requirements. Let's take a look at that and the words that are involved: orientation to light, spiritual motivation, trying to tread the path. And he talks elsewhere about beautifying the life and discipline and being also interested. Well, I'm having a good time here. Okay. So let's see here. Yes, he speaks also of disciplining the life elsewhere. So let's put that in. Elsewhere, disciplining the so that greater beauty appears. And he talks about interest in the esoteric teaching, but this can be really any good spiritual teaching. And let's see if we can find that reference. It would be in the AAB. Yeah, okay. So let's see, first and second. Okay, let's see if we have that. Okay, let's see. First, no, that won't do it. Okay, first and second initiation characteristics. And let's take a look. Yes, here they are. They try, yes, maybe the most important one. Truly love their fellow men and to seek the discipline in order to achieve greater beauty of life. And then comes later some sort of mental unfoldment, right? So let's take a look here. I'll put this in there. Okay. So these are characteristics of the first initiation. Let's review them. Sorry. I think I got thrown off a little bit by Australian English. So anyway, orientation towards the light, measure yourself, measure others that you know. Spiritual orientation or motivation, and trying to tread the path, whatever path that is. And then additionally, those who truly love their fellow men, who are interested in the esoteric teaching, but let's just say any kind of spiritual teaching might really do here, and discipline to attain greater beauty of life. And why don't I just make these all quite big so they do stand out, They do stand out. Okay, let's see if we can do that. There it is. Okay. All right. That took a little while, and I'm sorry. But think about these things, All those orientation to the light, to, and he says the light, spiritual motivation, trying to tread the path, whatever path that may be, loving one's fellow men, think of this, interested in, well, the spiritual teaching. I guess what I would do is put in the word spiritual, and who seek to discipline themselves in order to attain greater beauty of life. And elsewhere, he also talks about this. They may know nothing of the occult teaching or of esoteric techniques, but the discipline of their lives and their realized fixed intention and service bring them inevitably and eventually onto the occult way, and let's say a more scientific way of more complete understanding. They are learning to think well, hence the throat center is involved. They earnestly seek to know the right way, the right-hand path for humanity and not the selfish path, and desire to ascertain the will of God. And already, the monad has settled into the soul body. Its presence is there, even if the brain doesn't pick it up. So that idea of the will of God is coming from the monad and through the jewel and the lotus and through the egoic lotus and through the various centers, but especially through the head centers, that is active. They are learning to think. They earnestly seek to know the right way for humanity and desire to ascertain the will of God. They are therefore building thought forms and are developing the power to be impressed. And this building of thought forms, this is occurring in relation to the throat center. Okay, and even before, you know, it said that before the first initiation is taken, and maybe during the taking of it, the personality will be on the third ray, maybe the seventh ray, but in any case, the throat center will be stimulated either by Saturn, third ray, or by Uranus, seventh ray. There's an elevation of the sacral center to the throat center, and more seventh ray is coming into the throat center of the newly developing first degree initiate. And so many hundreds of thousands, think about that, that is operative now, and millions will be taking it. Humanity is ready for a great change. And maybe that's why we're seeing so much of the dismal, selfish past at the moment. It's being lifted into the air for all to see. Pluto is doing its job, and hopefully it will be destroyed by higher forces that no longer can tolerate that ancient way, which leads to isolation, lack of cooperation, and friction, and all kinds of Martian troubles between human beings. Well, it kind of gets you excited, you know, that this is actually happening. And here all this was written 70 years ago, 80 years ago. We're just picking it up, you know. You kind of think about those students of the Tibetan at the time, and they didn't have what we have now. We have all of the books. We have the internet. We have the mass communication systems, instant access to what's going on all over the world. We ought to make good, you know, and we can certainly understand that they may have had a harder time than we at this time. Of course, we have our other problems. So the law of now, coming under the law of attraction, I assume that's the word as a human being, the disciple was ruled and conditioned by the cosmic law of economy. Now again, you know, what would you say? Third ray, right? Law of attraction, repulsion, second ray, and law of synthesis, first ray. So as a human being, and now we're making transition out of the strictly human kingdom and towards the fifth kingdom of souls, and that's taking place at the first initiation, that kind of transition. The disciple was ruled and conditioned by the cosmic law of economy, along with its various subsidiary laws, which were active and conditioning in the three worlds of human evolution. And I think, you know, go to Treatise on Cosmic Fire and find the subsidiary laws to the law of economy. LOE. Well, we really should have that, shouldn't we? LOE? LOE? LOE con. Okay, there we go. LOE econ. All right. So you can find those, but I don't think it's worth at the moment that we get into those subsidiaries. This law is the basic law of nature, a green law, we might say. Nature is green in a way, and nature is also red in tooth and claw on this first ray monadic planet. This law is the basic, the foundation, you know, the builder of the foundation, third ray, the basic law of nature and the and of the natural evolving man. You know, the old Adam that was considered sinful in those earlier days. After the first initiation, he comes under the law of attraction. Well, the egoic lotus has moved up one step, vibratorily anyway, and is now on that second subplane of the mental plane where we have what's called response to group vibration, rather than simply spiritual discernment on the third subplane, but spiritual discernment must certainly be retained. So, After the first initiation, he comes under the law of attraction, second ray, which is really what should be happening on this planet at this time and in this solar system, which carries and wields the energy of love. And through the law of, and though the law of economy is then abrogated, or at least diminished in its overwhelming importance, it preserves an habitual control over the habitual process of the form vehicles, which are now used under the law of attraction. So we might say the vehicles, let's see, represented by the lunar lords, still operate foundationally under the law of economy. And this law works within the consciousness of man and also with the forms in the service of hierarchy. Let's see, which law is that? It's the law of attraction or economy. So at the first initiation, after that, he comes under the law of attraction, and may I add repulsion as well, which carries and wields the energy of love. And through the law of economy, and though the law of economy is then abrogated, it preserves an habitual control. Now, the myopic impulses, which are so habitual and which have to be seen by the observer, are carried on under the law of economy. It preserves the habitual control over the and habitual control over the habitual processes of the form vehicles, which are now used under the law of attraction, but they still carry those habits. Let's say these are not yet good spiritual habits, but the habits of the, what can we call it, old Adam. Although being trained persistently in a newer way of response as the law of attraction and the power of the soul become stronger. But I'm sure if we observe what is happening within our vehicles and how, if they were left unattended, they might do this and that, we do see the law of economy, a material type of impulse operating in all the vehicles, especially if left unsupervised. Now, they have to be trained so that on their own, they will not fight in the opposite direction of attraction to the soul. You know, and in the beginning, they certainly do. They resist this soul impulse of unity, and they want, they're still selfish. But, you know, at the second degree, a major blow against Martian selfishness is struck, and love comes into the astral body, and more Buddhic energy begins to flood the personality, and then we might say that the retraining of the vehicles comes more easily. All right, this is so then used under the law of attraction. This law works within the consciousness of man and also within the forms in the service of hierarchy. So here it must be the law of attraction, perhaps. Law of attraction. Well, eventually, you know, the Maha Chohan certainly works with the law of economy, among other things, and the Christ especially with the law of attraction, and the Manu with the law of synthesis. They all have to cooperate on a high turn of the spiral, and humanity has to realize the nature of that possible cooperation. They cannot be fighting with each other. That would be a disintegrated situation. And, you know, we are, as human beings, disintegrated at first, and the law of economy within us, which is sort of habitual from the past, is fighting against soul impulse. But eventually, under the will of Vulcan and under certain second-ray planets and so forth, there is the subduing, abrogation, subduing of the law of economy. At least it becomes the servant of a higher law to which we begin to respond. And when we built the Antikarana and we're moving even past the third initiation under the impulse of the monad, then the law of synthesis, however slightly, really begins to condition our thought and behavior and activity as initiates. All right, the soul as the agent of revelation. This is still from Dinah. You know, it's a cross, isn't it? You know, we could read along horizontally and read the entire book, and we do. But also on the vertical axis comes this topical study. Both are necessary, I would say. The topical study is recommended. I wonder if one can find the place where he talks about that. Topical. Let's see. Topical outline. And no. And let's see if we topically. Maybe that. I don't know. Yes. Here's one. In esoteric astrology, you will find a wealth of information hidden in my various statements if due search is made and the materials gathered together into a coherent whole. I would ask you to study and compare, to read and search topically, and to extract all that I've said about the various nations, of course it can be anything, and their governing constellations and their planetary rulers. There is a wide field of research here, and this research will fall into various categories. So this is where the Tibetan is enjoining us to study topically and basically this is a repeat of what he said earlier. Sometimes they make extracts from one book and put it into another to make sure that we really see it and absorb it, you know. Okay. So the agent of revelation for the first two initiations, the soul. So then is the third initiation taken on the ray of the monad. Or on both rays somehow. Certainly the ray of the monad is becoming influential. D.K. does say two things about this. He tells us in one place that after the third initiation, we take initiations on the ray of the monad, and in another reference that only the first two initiations are taken on the ray of the soul. And even initiation number 3 and 4 are taken on the ray of the monad. Okay, the agent of revelation is, for the first two initiations, the soul. So we get the idea that the agent of revelation for the next initiations is something else. And for that reason, the first initiation is said to be, and with truth, the expression of man's own inner divinity, and in this case, the soul. This is the reason why the first two initiations are regarded as initiations of the threshold to real initiation, the threshold to the solar initiations, because these first two are planetary. So it is here that the work of the Christ, or whoever is the cyclic head of the hierarchy, as the Buddha has been and has probably been an initiator as a result, should be considered. It is here that the work of the Christ, who is in a way Neptune and Venus, or whoever is the cyclic head of the hierarchy, should be considered. Every 2,500 years, it's supposed to change. Working in cooperation with the soul of the initiate upon the plane of the soul, the mental plane. So the initiator is dealing with the causal body, the egoic lotus, and the effects are felt in the other vehicles. And DK emphasizes this, that initiations are not really taken on the astral plane or the lower mental plane or the physical plane, but in the causal chamber. And the other vehicles are affected, sometimes very strongly. The Son of Mind is set free, and then the higher initiations become possible. So when is this real freedom in this sense is at the fourth initiation. After that, the one initiator can be faced or confronted. I guess that's Sanat Kumara, step by step, and let's call it Sanat Kumara, although Sanat Kumara apparently is active at the third, fourth, and fifth, but not the sixth and not the seventh. That existence, that entity is active at the sixth. He doesn't give us a name, and the planetary logos himself at the seventh. And of course, Sanat Kumara and this other existence, they are necessarily emanations of the planetary logos. Everything is an emanation, finally, of the one life of cosmos. We're all the same in that respect. So after that, the one initiator can be faced or confronted. So let's just see, the mind is set free, and we might say, in a sense, this even occurs at the second initiation. Because, you know, there is quite an emphasis on the illumination of the mind and cultivation of spiritual intelligence and the stimulation of the throat center and so forth. It seems that the heart is always stimulated, and probably to a degree all the different chakras are stimulated to a certain degree, but there's some intelligence factor operating at the second initiation. Mental illumination and spiritual intelligence, he tells us. Maybe this somewhat depends upon the ray, because later, you know, those who are insufficiently trained monastically have to go to Sirius, and that's 85% or 80-85% the bulk of humanity on its way to Sirius for monastic training, the fifth ray soul of Sirius being involved in that way. So Sanat Kumara, the one initiator, is confronted, not face to face immediately. You know, what have we got there? Well, you know, every once in a while you see the news come up, and I just think the battle is going to be extreme between the forces of selfishness and the forces which tend toward the soul. Right. The one initiator can be faced or confronted step by step, and revelation is accorded of the world soul, the anima mundi, and there are lower and higher parts of that. It's not just the soul of lower matter. The soul of the world will deal with higher types of matter as well. Of the world soul, of the planetary consciousness, that of which the soul or individual consciousness is an integral part. So we don't want to go dividing the idea of soul. There are different strata of consciousness as different levels of vibration are encountered, but it's all one consciousness, really. And we become increasingly aware of the world soul with respect to our globe, our chain, our planetary logos, and as we go on, of course, to other planets that are neighboring and to the solar logoic consciousness as we really rise in the initiatory ranking on that ladder. And I would say that the planetary logoi, you know, who have these schemes, they're becoming more and more aware of the solar logos's consciousness. So the soul is the agent of revelation, certainly at first, and our daily ability to contact the soul, to open to the soul, to find the occult means of cultivating access to the soul, these are all terribly important because they will lead to greater and greater revelations as we go on. This here is From Bethlehem to Calvary. It's a book, you know, written by Alice Bailey, extremely useful. Excuse me. Well, you know, think of it. There are so many Christians today who just have no use for occultism, and they find it to be some offensive and evil thing. But when they read from Bethlehem to Calvary, you know, they may get a totally different idea. So many times I've recommended to my Christian friends and associates, why not read this? Why not see what's really involved here and to try to interpret what's given in the Bible, which DK says is essentially a book for probationers, okay, but good enough, and see what is, how the occult understanding, a spiritually occult understanding, approaches that information. And then the transition can be made into a more scientific appreciation of what's in the Bible, because after all, the age of Aquarius will be an age of science. There's no question about that one. Fifth ray is very strong coming through Aquarius, and soon Aquarius will be the major distributor of the fifth ray constellationally considered, just as Leo is now. Okay, the immortal soul in man, it's not the causal body, of course, it's the real consciousness of the immortal being. The immortal soul in man prepares him for the first initiation. This is something that the angel of the presence, as much of the solar angel as can be embodied on the higher mental plane, has been working at for a long time, prepares him for the first initiation, for it is this soul which manifests upon earth as the infant Christ and appears in man. So let's just say, let's call it the emergence of the soul, soul in incarnation. No, that's sin. Soul in incarnation. Well, I think it's time to do something about that. Soul in, there it is, S-L-I-I, okay. There it is, S-L-I-I, the soul in incarnation. So we eventually do have the manifestation of the soul, which an aspect of consciousness which has immersed itself in these different vehicles of form. So this is the new birth. It is to be born again, you know. That which has been slowly gestating in man, largely under the influence of Virgo, when he comes under that influence, comes at last to birth, and Virgo and Capricorn, you know, are operative. The slow gestation is there under Virgo, and in Capricorn, the infant Christ makes his appearance in the lower worlds, the manger. And the Christ or soul is born consciously. So we begin to really be aware of a different type of consciousness. A lot of people in 12-step programs, they're aware of their higher power and how it may intervene, and that is the soul training them away from the more selfish, self-indulgent life. Always the germ of the living Christ has been present ever since individualization, though hidden in every human being. So we have the factor of the hidden Christ. It's another Virgo thing. But in due time, the season and season, the infant soul, new to soul experience in the personality, makes its appearance, and the first of the five initiations is made possible. Very important one facing humanity now, with all the troubles that precede that in the individual life now appearing in the life of humanity as a whole. The work proceeds, and the Christ life unfolds and develops in the man until the second and third initiations take place. And can be quite a stretch there between the first and second, but sometimes one life or even two. So I guess the time equation, as I've often said, is remarkably in our hands. Well, this is Alice Bailey writing, and, you know, she's wonderful with her first ray mind. But you can tell the difference, I think, you know. But I think she said, well, I had to write some books on my own just to prove I had a brain, you know. So and indeed she did. And they were very, very helpful books. for people making the transition. Now here's the second birth. The second birth is another well-recognized term for initiation. Even now in India, the higher castes are called the twice born. If, you know, higher castes, if, let's just say, if really, in consciousness, what their caste predicates of them. Of course, you know, with hereditary monarchy and being born into a caste from the hereditary perspective, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are internally what the title entitles us to. Anyway, they're called the twice born, and the ceremony that makes them twice born is a ceremony of initiation, a mere husk, truly, okay, in these modern days, but the pattern of things in the heavens. So at least it's the outer symbol of what is a great inner reality. All of us have to become the initiate, go into a wider space of registration and sensitivity, and become twice born. And it's, one becomes twice born on many different levels. It continually opens up all the way until some kind of cosmic antikarana leads to the consciousness of the one and only life of cosmos. When Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, he states that, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, we have in the born-again Christians this recognition, and pretty well it means to emotionally accept the saviorship of Jesus. It's not the full thing, but it's a start, you know. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, which is what the soul, growing stronger within the personality, allows us to see. What is the kingdom of God? Well, it is soul consciousness, which at the first initiation really begins to unfold within us, but only by degree. And this birth is spoken of as that of water and the spirit. Well, we certainly go through the cleansing, a degree of cleansing, and the spirit is there. The monad is there. It's mediated through the soul, and something higher than our usual life is influencing us and making its presence felt. Well, this is the everyday life of religion, you know, and many people are coming along and they make an emotional decision, maybe at a revival or at something that allows them to express sensitivity to a new order of vibration, and they're on their way, you know. It's not that first acceptance of Jesus is not the full first initiation, but it's certainly the acceptance of the guidance of the soul or the higher power by whatever name that may be called. Alice Bailey, you know, she's done a great job here. The three kings, when they saw the star shining forth, you know, as we do increasingly at each initiation, it is always there, and different number of points in the star, depending, eventually the six-pointed or seven-pointed star. When they saw the star shining forth, the three kings, astrologers all, undertook a journey, and laden with gifts, the gift of oneself, one almost might say, to the higher power, laden with gifts, came to Bethlehem, the place of birth, you know, the place of bread, in a way. They are symbols of those disciples in the world today who are ready to prepare themselves for the first initiation, to transmute their knowledge into wisdom, you know, very much a Venus thing to do, Mercury involved, and to offer all that they have to the Christ within. Eventually we have to do that. You know, there are fights in this process, and the personality will insist on its retaining its own habit nature. And really, that's what's wrong with the initiates of the previous solar system who have veered off onto the left-hand path and into the Black Lodge. They insist on retaining the order under the third ray and do not trust enough to give up those manifold possessions that they gain in that system. It takes a lot of trust to give up what you have been holding on to tightly as your rightful possessions. But then you got to do it. And when we're truly empty, even more flows in. So if we give all is given. To those who give all is given. Well, these are words, but acting on them, greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for a friend. We'll all be challenged on that, and the friend will be not necessarily a particular friend. It could be humanity as a whole. All right, on with Bethlehem to Calvary, soulful dedication of the physical. It says the first initiation symbolizes the dedication of the physical body and the physical plane life to the soul, and we might say under the auspices of the etheric body, which transmits higher energies, including soul energy. The second initiation that comes later stands for the demonstrated control and consecration to divinity of the desire nature, with its emotional reactions and its potent wish life. You know, Sagittarius is involved here, and instead of riding off in all directions, it helps the individual become the one pointed disciple. Sagittarius can be considered a higher mental sign, and there's, well, you know, in my book on the Egoic Lotus, I talked about the ways that all the different signs of the zodiac and planets can be involved in the various initiations. So that's a video book, and maybe you want to begin the arduous process of listening to it. I've tried to be quite complete in gathering many things together, but I know there's a lot, and it may become a little tedious, but a lot is there, and I think it can benefit you, you know. So have we consecrated the physical body and the physical plane life to the soul? Not in any warped or distorted way, but in a higher kind of way that really means that the soul has, under Vulcan, has gripped the etheric and physical body and is bending them to its will. The soul must always bend the various vehicles to its will, and Vulcan, as the will of the soul, when looked at from its higher perspective, is involved in bending the lunar vehicles to the will of this higher perspective, and the will of that being, the solar angel, as the angel of the presence, which is underlying the egoic lotus and blending with our own consciousness as projected from the monad. It's really a kind of dual consciousness that's occurring within the egoic lotus. All right, now we seem to be going on to glamour world problem. I have no illusions. I know we are skipping important references, and I can only recommend, what can I say, read the blue books, really, but really, really read them and carefully, and make it a priority for yourself, you know. If all works well at this point, these video commentaries will last for a while, and they may be operative even at the time that the new dispensation is coming forth. And, you know, I intend personally to be involved with that at some point, maybe a long time, but let's see. And some are younger and will be involved at a time when the new dispensation is coming forth, and hopefully I will be able to discriminate, because, you know, there's always going to be the copies and the fabrications and the spurious claims and so forth. And there's where you really have to use your intuition and to blend what is coming forth and notice the whether it has continuity with what has been legitimately given. That may not be easy, and, you know, the Theosophical Society in many ways failed on that. Master D.K. was certainly active in giving Madame Blavatsky a lot of information, and he was sort of behind all that. And he took his mastership at the time that the Theosophical Society was founded in 1875. But he was not recognized at first in the Bailey books. Now he's increasingly recognized, but I'm sure there are some diehards that just want to stick with Blavatsky and don't realize the presence of the master behind so much of what she gave. All right, well, so here we are, Glamour World Problem, Resolution of Physical Plane Duality. In the first initiation, the disciple demonstrates that he has resolved the dualities of the physical plane and can rightly impose etheric energy, the higher of the two, upon physical energy. Well, this was these kinds of things harken back to Lemuria, where we actually had control of our physical organs in some kind of Laya yoga, you know. It was a time when we were just learning how to be physical beings. Now, the outer man, the gaseous, liquid, and dense, you know, is ruled by the third ray of matter, and the etheric body generically by the seventh. That doesn't mean that when you're looking at these two vehicles, you split the rays. But, you know, generically, there is the order and the higher energies which can come through the etheric body and bring order and rhythm and right expression to the dense physical body, which has all of its instinctual tendencies. So, you know, how well have we done with that? In these Aryan days, there is a re-emphasis upon the physical body. That's kind of the way the numbers play out. It's the third of the conscious, self-conscious races, Lemurian, Atlantean, Aryan, the third, and the physical body is, in a way, the third of the vehicles, or at least the physical nature. So there's a big physical emphasis, and you see that, you know, in the sporting events and the Olympics and all that kind of thing. And as DK said, it may be hard to grasp, but those are really initiatory processes for many people, you know, and may lead to the taking of the first initiation eventually. You know, we've all been there, but much depends on our rays. But now I think, you know, we're emerging into hopefully the possibility of mental polarization, not just a good mind, but real polarization to be able to think within the light of the soul and follow the Syrian path of initiation. Okay, here's something on the technique of indifference. We have the technique of light, and I think there's a technique kind of identification, technique of the presence, that's it. Okay, so where there is divine indifference to the call or pull of matter, then inspiration becomes possible. In the sequence of initiations, as related to the different signs of the zodiac, inspiration is ruled by Sagittarius, which also has so much to do with attention to the physical body, and I suppose the etheric body, as it has to be trained. It's a sporting sign, right? It has to be trained on the path of initiation. So it's interesting that so much of this body work and body attention comes in under Sagittarius. Maybe that's part of the earth rulership for spiritually minded people of Sagittarius. So anyway, we can be inspired and breathe in the divinity from above. The technique is related to karma yoga, one of the first kinds, you know, fulfilling our obligations in its most practical form and the use of matter with complete impersonality. We carry these things out. We're not attached to the material element. We carry out what must be carried out on the physical plane with a degree of detachment and one-pointedness. And we have that section in Esoteric Astrology where it shows the Sagittarius leading to the first initiation, leading to the second initiation. And in some ways the third and the sixth and, you know, other things. These great lords of constellations are not just active at one point in the development of man. The goal of this technique is the first initiation, which enables man to live a life inspired by God. And you see so many terribly enthusiastic people at this stage, as my wife likes to call it. She calls it the Holy Spirit stage, you know. And they are, you know, it's in their eyes, and they burn with the possibilities of freedom and all the rest. They haven't yet encountered so many of the trials which await on the path, and the Hydra within them is still alive, though unsuspected. Maybe the first heads of the Hydra have suffered a blow, sex, money, and comfort. Okay, so live a life inspired by God. Jupiter is there, inspiring in Sagittarius. That's one of the important aspects, always giving that sense of a wider possible horizon. Inspiration, whoa, 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 inspiration is the applied power of transmission. Don't you just get the sense, now stop here and really try to understand what this is all about. Every once in a while, DK says something that is absolutely arresting, and you know he's planting some kind of attention-getting statement, a mantra of real importance. Well, the transmission is going to be from above, and you don't get inspiration from below. You can call it something else, but it's not, you're not really breathing in the fire with the air and the higher divinity. You're not, if you're being inspired. I'm recalling that one of the members of the Krupp group back in the First World War or something like that, he liked to have his scientific laboratory above the stables because he was inspired, as it were, by the smell of horse manure. Well, I don't call that inspiration. I don't know what he got from it. He got some kind of exhilaration, but it sounds to me like a lower elemental force. And when you think of how that fifth ray was applied destructively by some of those people, I think you can, you know, see and understand that that is not real inspiration. So in our meditation, the master in the heart, and as we link with the different petals and with the jewel and the lotus, and eventually as we build the Antikorana via Gemini and Mercury and Sagittarius into the higher and impersonal worlds, something is transmitted. It comes down into our psyche and into our energy system, and then it is applied to the personality in a way. And then when we're animated properly, we apply it to the betterment and correction of that which transpires around us. All right, so let's just call this the end. Oh, good Lord. How's that? End of first initiation, a common compilation commentary, video commentary, and it's number 2. One of my colleagues tells me, stop using the number sign. Just confuses us, okay? But anyway, right here, at least, the number 2, and the day is the 27th of June. We're in solidly in the sign Cancer, and now we have the beginning of first initiation video commentary. And I think, you know, I'm so tempted, obviously, to do it this way. First initiation video commentary. So it's initiation, compilation, video, commentary. That's going to help me down the road here with maybe, you know, 12 or 13 programs, and it's going to be number 3, and I don't know when I'll be able to do it, maybe soon, maybe not. All right, so this is the We might think, well, we're just studying the first initiation. Should we all take in the first initiation? Well, I don't think we should assume that. Now, do remember that even in Master DK's group, there was one person that had not taken or had failed to stand before the Christ. He was not really an initiate of the first degree, but somehow, mysteriously, Master DK established a relationship with him and made of him an accepted disciple. So we don't know how that happened, but we must not underestimate the first initiation, you know, back here, remember it, orientation to the light, spiritual motivation, trying to tread the path, whether spiritually occult or solidly religious, loving our fellow men, interested in some kind of spiritual teaching, right, and seeking to discipline our lives in order to attain greater beauty of life. These are five or six requirements, and we can see whether they apply to us. Now, the first initiation is an event we often forget, even the second we forget, and there's an example of a third-degree initiate having forgotten an interview with his master on the inner planes. And did he remember his third initiation? We don't know. But, you know, there is the rule and then there are the exceptions. So more and more we have to sensitize the brain cells so we begin to remember those inner events which are of spiritual importance. Okay, so that's going to be it for right now. And we'll go on after this at some point, hopefully soon. So see you then, and study hard. Take care. Bye-bye.